Galatians chapter 6, a very familiar passage, but very important for all believers to make sure that we understand this principle of reaping and sowing. Here in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So in due season is the title of the message this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and pray that each of us would push aside any distractions and just open our hearts to hear from you, and that you would use your word in our lives and grow us through it today. And have your will in every heart. Lord, if there's someone here not saved, I pray they'll realize they must trust Christ to ever see heaven. And I pray those of us that are believers, Lord, that we would allow you to do a work in our lives, whatever that might be, whatever the need might be. We give it to you, and may you be magnified and glorified, and give us your wisdom and guidance now. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we see here, the Bible says that a person can be deceived into thinking that this principle that God has in His Word won't come true, that you reap what you sow. We've all heard that phrase before, because oftentimes there's a bit of a delay. If you think about, even it started in the Garden of Eden. The devil came to Eve and basically said, "Well, I know this is what God said would happen, but that's not really what will happen." And they took of the fruit, and they didn't physically die, but they did spiritually die. And they were immediately separated from God. And that has carried on now for 6,000 years through mankind, that we're born separated from God. But God says that to not understand this principle and to not live and believe this principle is to be deceived. And essentially it's mocking God, because it will come to pass. We will reap what we sow, because God said so. And to believe otherwise is to mock God. The Bible says in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." And if God says this is what's going to happen, then this is what's going to happen. We will reap what we sow. And so notice he says there in verse 7, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." One of God's life principles given to us in the Scriptures here. And we all see it, even in a practical sense, don't we? A person gets lung cancer and they've been smoking for 40 years. That's reaping what you sow. We see this in life. But God says that this is true in every aspect of our Christian walk, that we will reap what we sow. And as we'll see later on, it's our choice, the sowing that we do. Are we going to sow to the flesh, or are we going to sow to the Spirit? That's up to us. God gave us a free will to make that decision, but we will reap whatever we choose to sow. But this principle, if you go to the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 32, I want you to see that this is something that God has told us as His creation from the start, that we will reap what we sow. And I'd like just a couple of Old Testament scriptures just to show you that this is one of God's principles about life. Notice Numbers 32, verse 23. The Bible says, "You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." So there's an Old Testament example of the same principle. You've sinned against the Lord, be sure that your sin will find you out. And let's look at one more, Proverbs chapter 1. The book of wisdom. And I just want us to nail this down this morning, that we will reap what we sow. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. Notice the Bible says, "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." So there we see it in the book of Proverbs. And then one other verse in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, which is the book right after Daniel in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. Notice the Bible says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." So as we can see, this is a principle that God has given to us for saved and unsaved alike, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again, if you go back to our passage, verse 8, God then says, we have a choice. As His children, because the unsaved, this doesn't apply because they can't sow to the Spirit. Their spirit's dead. But those of us that are born again, every day we have a choice. Am I going to sow to my flesh or am I going to sow to my spirit? Because I will reap what I sow. Notice verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, I just want to take a couple moments and give some examples of sowing to the flesh from the Scriptures. For example, if we sow rebellion, the Bible teaches that we will be punished. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If we choose to continue to rebel, and we won't listen to God, God's going to deal with us. The Bible says that if we sow pride, Proverbs 28:25 says pride leads to strife. 1 Peter 5:5 says that God resisteth the proud. So pride is going to lead to major problems in our lives. It's going to lead to strife with others, and it's going to lead to God resisting us. Another example, gossip. The Bible says, he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. The words of a talebearer as wounds, they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. So if we choose to sow gossip, we're going to reap ruined friendships, people hurt. If we choose to sow bitterness, for example, the Bible says that the bitterness will defile many. That we will reap problems in our associations. Others around us will be harmed by our bitterness. So we will reap that. If we sow unforgiveness, the Bible says in Mark 11 that if we choose not to forgive, that it will hinder our prayers. And if we choose to, for example, sow a temper problem, the Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In other words, we don't have self-control and we're going to suffer for it because we don't have any protection. We're opening ourselves up to the devil if we choose to sow a temper problem or self-control issue. Judgmentalism, the Bible says, we dare not make ourselves of the number, compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So if we choose to have a judgmental spirit, the Bible says that we will suffer for it. How about complaining? And I'm just throwing out a few examples. In Numbers chapter 11, the Bible says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. So when we complain, we're essentially insulting God because we're saying God made a mistake. And God never makes mistakes. If we sow complacency or idleness, the Bible says the idle soul shall suffer hunger. If we sow worry or lack of faith, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. These are just a couple of examples of sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit. And God says if we choose to sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption, problems, corruption. Now he contrasts that by saying here in verse 8, but he that soweth to the Spirit, now notice that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We communicate with God's Holy Spirit with our spirit. The Bible, go to Romans chapter 8 and I'll show you this. This is important for us to understand. That's why an unsaved person cannot communicate with God in prayer because their spirit is dead. The Bible says that we are born dead in trespasses and sins. And the Bible says that God quickens us or gives us life when we're born again, that our spirit is injected with life from God. And now we have the ability to communicate with God. Notice Romans 8:14. But for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that communication is opened up when we get saved. That now we can communicate with God's Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, with our spirit. When we come to church, we come to worship the Lord, we come to hear the Word of God, but we come to for God to minister to our spirit. Little s. That is the means by which we communicate with God. Remember, Jesus said, they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. An unsaved person can't worship God. They don't have a living spirit. It's dead. And so we can choose with our spirit to sow to God's spirit. So again, let's talk about some examples. What does the Bible say if we choose to sow prayer? Which is us communicating with God. What will we reap? Answers to prayer. Praise the Lord. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If we choose not to spend time with God, then we're not going to enjoy the benefits of spending time with God. How about the Word of God? The Bible says our only weapon against the devil, as far as offensive weapon, is his Word and prayer. The Bible refers to the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. So if we choose not to make the Word part of our lives, if we choose not to hide it in our hearts, not to meditate in it, not to grow, as we're told to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what does that mean? It means we're not ready to defend ourselves when the devil attacks. Doesn't the Bible say, resist the devil and he will flee from you? We lose our effectiveness in resisting the devil. But if we choose to sow to the Spirit of God with his word, then we're ready to resist the devil and we will reap those benefits as well. How about working for the Lord? Bible says 1 Corinthians 15:58, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, if we choose to sow serving God, God said he's going to bless us. That it's not in vain. That he will bless us. Even going to church, the Bible says those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we choose to sow to being faithful to God's house, we're going to reap the benefits in our spiritual walk. Those are just some examples. But what God is trying to teach us this morning, we have a choice. Every day we have a choice. We get up and we choose, who am I going to sow to? And we all know, this is a battle that we face every day, is it not? This battle between the flesh and the spirit. Because, by the way, they don't agree with each other. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, and we'll see this morning. Just one chapter from where you are. And it's important for us to understand that the flesh and the spirit are never, ever going to get along. They are, as we see here in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What that's saying is that from the day we're saved until the day we leave this earth, we are going to have a battle between the flesh and the spirit, because they are contrary one to the other. That's why rock music doesn't work in a worship service. Because rock music is designed to appeal to our flesh. And you can't reach the avenue of the Spirit, which is how we worship God. You can't reach the Spirit through the avenue of man's flesh. Because they disagree with each other. They're contrary one to the other. All you're doing is making the flesh feel good, which affects your emotions. And you walk out saying, wow, I really had fun today. I really enjoyed the worship service today. Oh, okay, is that why we go to church? So we can feel good and enjoy? No, we go to church to worship God and to hear from God, from His Word. It's not about our emotional enjoyment. It's about our spirit, you see. So what God is telling us is they don't agree with each other and they never will. And we have a choice every day. Which one are we going to sow to? Now go to Romans 7, if you would, quickly. The Apostle Paul discussed his own battle. Just so that we could relate and understand, because we fight a battle every day, Paul was openly honest about the battle that he fought every day between the flesh and the spirit. Notice verse 14 of Romans 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That word carnal means fleshly. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, parentheses, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Does it look like we have a bit of a battle going on there? Paul opened up and was honest through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that we could say, yep, that's me. I fight the same battle every day. And we will. It never ends. It never stops. Doesn't matter if you've been saved 1 year or 50 years. You're going to fight a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And every day we have a choice to make. Who am I going to sow to? Flesh, spirit. Every hour we have a choice to make. So back to our passage this morning. What is God is telling us? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You mean it can wear you out trying to always do the right thing? Yeah, it sure can, because it's a battle. The Bible says that we're in a battle. And by the way, the devil gets involved sometimes and tries to help his side, which is the flesh side, tries to encourage us to go that way. So the battle can get wearisome. It can get tiresome. It can get tough. And a lot of Christians, as we see here in verse 9, end up fainting. Say, I'm tired of fighting the battle. Every day I got to fight this battle with the flesh. Why can't I just not have to fight the battle? Because that's the way it is. That's life. You know, I hear people say, oh, once you become a Christian, it's just all going to be all wonderful. You'll just be walking around on a cloud, all happy all the time. You will have the joy of the Lord. But your life is a battle. And it doesn't end. That's the reality of it. It's a wonderful journey. We know the end. We end up with the Lord in heaven forever. Praise God. We get a mansion. But for this short time that we're on earth, we have a choice to make every day. And if we choose to stand for what's right and we choose to sow to the Spirit of God, it's going to be a battle because the devil hates it. You know, every time I lead someone to the Lord, I always tell them, after they get saved, I say, I just want to tell you up front now, the devil is mad. And in the next couple of weeks, you're going to have a battle. The devil's going to try to keep you from going to church. He's going to try to keep you from praying. He's going to try to keep you from reading the Word. He's very upset that you are saved. I want people to know up front, it's not going to be a bed of roses. And you know, without fail, every time, new believers always come back and say, you were right. There was a battle. There always is. Some people choose to, you know, listen to the devil and they get a slow start to their Christian lives. Other people stand and do right. But it's a battle. God says, don't be weary in well-doing. We need to keep on, keeping on. Go to Romans chapter 2. God uses a beautiful phrase to describe what we should be doing. He calls it patient continuance. Notice Romans chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Patient continuance in well-doing. That's a good description of what God is saying we need to be doing every day. Just patiently continuing to do the right thing. Because we can get weary. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 when the Bible tells us this. Let us not be weary, God says. Don't let the devil wear you down. Don't let the flesh wear you down. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. You've got His Word. You've got His church to help you along. Don't get weary. Do the right thing and you'll be blessed. Notice Hebrews 12:3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest ye be wearied. Keep your eyes on Jesus, He says. Keep sowing to the Spirit and don't sow to the flesh. Keep fighting the battle every day, and it's a battle every day that can make you weary. But God says, keep your eyes on Jesus. And go back to our passage, that last phrase, if we faint not. We've all met Christians, if we've been saved a while, that have fainted. They got tired of fighting the battle. And they fainted. What does it mean? It means they quit fighting. And they just got up every day and said, I'm not fighting. I'm just going to sow to the flesh. Because that's easy. I'm not going to sow to the Spirit because that's tough. That's a battle. And they fainted. And this is a theme throughout Scripture. This theme of not fainting. David said in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is a man after God's own heart. He says, if I didn't believe that someday I'm going to spend forever with the Lord, I would have fainted. Solomon said in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. But see, doesn't the Bible say I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? So we have infinite strength as long as we're leaning on the Lord. And then look at Isaiah 40, verse 31, very well-known verse. A lot of Christians memorize this verse because it's so beautiful. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I think this is the theme for the ladies' retreat, actually. Wings as eagles. Notice Isaiah 40, 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They that do what? Wait upon the Lord. It all comes down to who we're leaning on, who we're waiting on, who we're trusting for the strength to fight the battle every day, not sow to the flesh, but to sow to the Spirit. Jesus said, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, quit. Give up. And then look at one more, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. For which cause we faint not. For what cause? For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The next verse says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All through the Scriptures are told, faint not. Don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't quit. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you that we have Jesus, that we have the Holy Spirit, that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. But the devil never makes it easy, and the flesh never makes it easy. We will have to fight every day. That's why we're called soldiers. So the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, when's that? That's up to God, isn't it? In due season. Oh, is that a day? Is that a week? Is that a year? Is that 10 years? I don't know. And neither do you. God knows. In due season. When God decides it's time, then we will, in due season, reap what we've sown to the Spirit. Because sometimes it seems like, you know, all those Old Testament verses that say, don't fret when you watch the evildoers, because they will end up in hell. But sometimes it seems like people that live for the devil are happy. Sometimes it seems that way. And Solomon knew that, and he said, don't watch that and get discouraged. They're going to hell. And yeah, the devil makes sin fun. If he didn't, we wouldn't want to be involved in it so much, right? We don't desire sin because it's something that we don't enjoy. We desire sin because the devil makes it enjoyable. But we know that we have a new Father. We have a new Spirit. We have a new destiny. And we're here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So, God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, we will reap. And we can choose every day, am I going to sow to the flesh or am I going to sow to the Spirit? Don't be weary. Don't let the devil wear you down. Don't let the flesh wear you. Don't be weary. Keep your eyes on the Lord. It can be a victorious Christian life. Jesus said, I came to give them life more abundantly. And we have that life within us in the person of Christ. We can do this. But don't get weary. Don't faint. Sow to the Spirit. Keep fighting, and you will reap a blessed, blessed Christian walk with the Lord. In due season. And God knows when that is. Amen?